I don't know how many, I'm sure all of you parents have had it happen where, tell me a story when you were little. Your children come, tell me a story when you were little. Now, some of you, if grandchildren or something come to ask you, that's probably gonna take some work to remember that far back. That's a story of Jesus. What a story. Wow. All right, so for any of you that have thought, or consider me long-winded, and I, again, will not say who I'm talking to, I am going to preach about 5 minutes longer today than I normally do. So, look out. But I haven't preached for 3 weeks, so might be pent up and, like, you know, might take an hour and a half. Who knows? Like you to turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. The world we're living in today is not safe spiritually. And if we were to be really honest, we would say the world that we're living in today is not safe physically either. I'm sure all of you do it, but I know for myself, when I am approaching a new year or just starting it, like January 1st, and by the way, this is our New Year's sermon, okay? Just consider today January 1st. But I wonder, what's this year going to be like? What's it going to bring? And I've said this, I think, every year as well. I never dreamed I'd face that this past year. However, I can feel like I can say without exaggeration, and I really feel like I can say this honestly, this past year, spiritually, was probably the most intense year I've been through. The emotional and spiritual strain that I have felt this past year was probably the strongest that I've ever felt before. And I'm not trying to gain attention, but what I'm trying to do is show you my emotional state that led me to where I want to share what I want to share this morning and why I felt like this was an appropriate subject. I've said this before as well, but I feel like with each passing year, this becomes more and more true. Satan is fighting God's people like never before, and I think every year that battle gets stronger, and I think we all know why. If it's not health problems, it's emotional problems. If it's not emotional problems, there's marriage tension, and if it's not marriage tension, there's some kind of personal hurt, and you could probably list a whole bunch of more. And like I said earlier, I truly believe that each person here, again, youngest children probably excluded, but they have their time. That's why you need to enjoy being young while you're young, right? Don't rush it. I wish someone would have told me that. They did, but I didn't listen. But I would imagine everybody here has something weighing, and for some extremely heavy, that you don't know how to really wrap your head around it and how to deal with it and what to do. How can we enter this new year with a positive outlook if something so heavy is weighing us down? And what I think is even more important is the lack of fervency I see among the people that call themselves Christians today. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not calling anyone out. But I want you to examine yourselves, and I say this with as much passion and as much concern as I can. Are you seeking God to grow, diligently grow closer to Him? Or has something distracted you, likely stress or worries? And with that being said, how can we enter this new year if we're not where we need to be spiritually? Is there some soul searching that all of us need to do? Some praying. In our text we're going to read here in a minute, there's a prayer that Paul prayed for the church of Colossae. He was concerned about a situation that had crept in. Among other problems the church was dealing with was the belief of relativism. And that's the belief that you can believe what you want, and I can believe what I want, and we're all right, and everything's okay. Sounds like today, doesn't it? At the risk of offending someone or appearing intolerant, we say, as long as you can believe that and it doesn't affect me, then that's fine. And for whatever reason, it seems like the church is the easiest place to get away with this. If you go to a construction site where they're building a tall building and one believes the foundation doesn't need to be deep and the other does, somebody's wrong. And if you have a math teacher that tells his students 5 plus 5 is 10, but if you want to believe that 4 plus 4 is 10, that's okay. I think he'd quickly say that two of those workers wouldn't have a job. Or maybe they just don't care about their job, and they want just to slide by and as passively as they can and not work very hard. But possibly that's what's going on in our churches today. People really aren't serious about serving God. They just want to get through life and slide by with as little work as possible. So asking a question, do you want to grow closer to God? Or do you want to just kind of slide in, slide by? Are you really seeking a closer relationship with God? There's something that I'm going to have to be vague on, because I would love to share all the details of it to tell you why it brought me to this place here this morning, but I can't because I'd be disclosing some confidential things. But these last several months, I have done some soul searching myself because of a situation that I've been working through. I feel like I examined my heart, or the Lord examined my heart, and showed me something I needed to work on. And it's a challenging thing. But it was a lesson that I needed to learn. And I want us to look at this passage that we're going to read and see if we can take Paul's prayer, an incredible prayer that he prayed for the church of Colossae, and apply it as a prayer for our new year. So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9 through verse 12. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now there's a number of requests that Paul made here, and I want to break them down by phrase and apply these requests that Paul prayed for the church of Colossae and see if we can pray this prayer for us. The first one is that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Paul was beseeching the Lord. He wanted the Lord to fill his converts with knowing the Lord's will. He wanted the church that he was working with to know the Lord's will, and it included something better than what they were struggling with. God's will for the early church was what they know the truth. Of course, that hasn't changed. And Paul also knew that there were some that were already disposed and already very more mature spiritually, and he was praying they'd become more aware of what God wanted them to do. In a teenager's life, probably one of the biggest struggles, if they're a Christian and really trying to serve God, is what's God's will for my life? I remember struggling with that as a 16-year-old, and I remember how willing people were to tell me what they thought God's will was for me, and that doesn't help any. Everyone, young and old alike, needs to know the will of God, whether it's a career choice, a life career choice, or even something as simple as hearing God's will that you need to take someone out to lunch because that person needs to talk. God's will can be prayed for, and it can be learned and heard. How many times have you actually prayed, Lord, reveal your will to me for today. Reveal your will for me for the future. Fill me with the knowledge of your will. Do you want to know God's will for this new year? For you? Ask him for it. Then Paul prayed that they would have spiritual wisdom and understanding. What is that? What's Paul praying for? What is spiritual wisdom and understanding? One of the challenges I face at times is that I feel inadequate when it comes to education. I feel around some people that are much more educated than I am, their doctrinal understanding or their theological beliefs, whatever, they're deeper and they can use better words and stuff, and sometimes I feel inadequate. But I think one thing we can get hung up on real quickly, and in reading this phrase, I think this can happen, is we feel the need to be smart or to know a lot of stuff. And that's not what Paul's talking about here. We don't need to be scholars to have spiritual wisdom and understanding. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Do we know those things which please God? And are we doing it? Are we holding on to those things that are good for us spiritually? Are we really striving to learn more about God? So let's just keep in mind that being scholarly doesn't necessarily mean we have spiritual wisdom. You can be as smart as tack in the drawer and you still don't have spiritual wisdom. Do you feel like you have spiritual wisdom? Do you know the Lord? Do you know him well enough? We need to be daily praying. I don't care how old you are, how far down the road you are. Daily praying that the Lord will give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then Paul requested that they fully please the Lord. Is it possible to fully please God? There are many examples in Scripture about people that were blameless before God. And the sad fact is that many people feel like they cannot measure up to God and what he wants, so they quit trying. To me, I think it's just an easy way, an easy out, and an excuse for not trying. Maybe it's too much work, so why bother? God knows our hearts, and he knows if we're trying or not. I'm reminded of the story when Jesus was baptized, and the voice of heaven, spirit out of heaven, said, "This is my son, I'm well pleased." I think back to my growing up years and how just awesome it felt for my dad to say he was pleased with me on something I did, or to know that I pleased my dad. And one way I knew I pleased him was if I worked really hard and showed that I was strong. So that's often, as a young boy, I did more than I should have done, and probably why I have back trouble today. I look at my own children, and I'm working in my office, and one of them comes in with a newest creation, whether it's a Lego or something out of duct tape or something, and interrupt me, and it's at that point I got to say whether I'm pleased or not with what they created. And some are pretty impressive. We as parents knew what it was like to please our fathers, and we can only imagine what it feels like then for our children to know they're pleasing us. The challenge is we need to make it possible to be pleased. If we grew up with a father that was never pleased with us, or we could never do anything right, then that's really hard. And I want my children to know that I can be pleased from time to time. The challenge is showing them that we're pleased even when they fail, but when they tried their best. And that's where the struggle as Christians comes in. We think that if we didn't succeed the first time, then God isn't pleased with us. God's not expecting perfection. He's expecting obedience. And so if our heart is determined to obey and please him, that's all he wants. God doesn't demand perfection, just as we shouldn't demand perfection from our children. And so, can we use this prayer for ourselves and for others that, Lord, help us to understand that it's possible to please you and that all you're requesting is obedience. Then Paul asked that they be fruitful in every good work. A farmer once planted two fruit trees on opposite sides of his property. The one he planted to provide a hedge to hide the unsightly view of an old landfill. The other to provide shade to rest under a near cool mountain stream which ran beside his fields. As the two trees grew, both produced and began to flower and bear fruit. One day, the farmer decided to gather the fruit from the tree nearest his house, which was the one beside the landfill. As he brought the fruit inside the house, he noticed that they were a little deformed. The symmetry of the fruit wasn't very good, but this fruit still looked edible. And later that evening, while sitting on his porch, the farmer took one of the pieces of fruit for a snack, and biting into that fruit, he found it to be extremely bitter and completely inedible. Casting the fruit aside, he looked across the field to the other tree over by the mountain stream. After walking across the field, the farmer took a piece of the fruit from the tree and bit into it. He found the fruit to be sweet and delicious, and he gathered more of those pieces of fruit and brought them home. The fruit was greatly affected by the nutrition of the root. Just as the tree by the landfill grew to be bitter, and the tree by the stream produced sweet fruit, so the Christian has a choice. He can either put down his roots in the soil of the landfill of fleshly pursuits or into the cool, refreshing stream of the person of Jesus Christ. We must understand that the root bears the fruit. The fruit of the Christian is the outward evidence of an inward motivation. The ambition of any good employee, and I recognize they are few and far between today, but their ambition should be that they become good at their job. I enjoy seeing someone that's good at their job. Some of that comes from when I occasionally had someone help me when I was in business and really doing the job right that pleased me. A good sign of a faithful Christian is when they're being fruitful. You know, we have the fruits of the Spirit that we mention from time to time. There's also impacts that a person can make for the kingdom. And I wonder, is our lives individually making an impact for God's kingdom? Are we being fruitful in our efforts for Christ? And this goes back to pleasing God. If we're not trying to please God, then we're not going to be fruitful. Do we pray for others? The Lord would help them to be fruitful, successful in their Christian walk, be productive in whatever the Lord wants them to minister in. Are we praying for ourselves? Lord, help me be fruitful. Help me to be a fruitful Christian. Are you praying that prayer? Then Paul asked that they increase in the knowledge of God. I was once asked by someone I was supposed to give a report for our conference, and the question was to describe God. You ever tried to describe God before? Increasing in the knowledge of God at first thought can be overwhelming because God is so far beyond what we can ask or imagine. And if we view it from that standpoint, then we're going to become discouraged and our human side will kick in and we're not going to get anywhere. But think about it this way. What do we know about God? And let me share some things I want to read for you. God is infinite. He's beyond measurement. We cannot define him by size or amount. He has no beginning, no end, no limits. God is all-powerful. He spoke all things into being. In all things, every cell, every breath, every thought are sustained by him. There is nothing too difficult for him. God is good. God is the embodiment of perfect goodness and is kind, benevolent, and full of goodwill towards all creation. God is love. God's love is so great that he gave his only son to bring us into fellowship with him. God's love not only encompasses the world, but embraces each of us personally and intimately. God is unchanging. All that he is, all that he has always been, all that he will be, he's ever perfect and unchanging. God is just, righteous, holy, fair, and equitable in all things. We can trust him to always do what is right. God is all-knowing. God's knowledge encompasses every possible thing that exists, has ever existed, or ever will exist. There is nothing that is a mystery to him. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere, in and around everything, close to everyone, all the time. God is merciful. God's merciful compassion is infinite and inexhaustible. God is faithful. Out of his faithfulness, God honors his covenants and fulfills his promises. Our hope for the future rests on his faithfulness. And God is our comforter. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the comforter. The Apostle Paul writes that the Lord is the God of all comfort. And that's just a few of the simple phrases that we can find through Scripture and attributes that we know about God. And some of these attributes we know simply by communicating with him. The part about knowing God doesn't mean that we understand God, because that's never going to happen. But we can learn to know more of him through daily communication with him. Can we pray, Lord, please help me to learn to know you more? Have you prayed that prayer recently? Then Paul prays that they'll be strengthened with godly power. And this power is what enables us to do what is right. We face temptation, we can pray that God will give us victory over it. We face a trial, we can pray that God gives us the strength through it. We face a spiritual decision, we can pray that God gives us the wisdom and the strength to grow and to make the right decision. There are bodybuilders that are impressive. They can lift and move things that are amazing. I am not one of them. I'm here to say that I know the one who alone is the giver of perfect strength. And in our day and age, we've become so self-sufficient that we forget we have a God who possesses all strength and he wants to help us. How many times have you faced a challenge and you realize you can't do it, and you cry out to the Lord, I can't do it on my own. I need your strength. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that here this year. Can we pray for godly power and strength for us, for each other? Then Paul prays for steadfastness and patience. Steadfastness is being fixed. It's immovable. It's firm. Patience is endurance. How many times do we feel like, ugh, I just can't make it. I can't go on. How many times has Satan come and tried to give us to give up? It's only through the Lord that he can help us stay strong. My heart is fixed, Lord. My heart is fixed. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And then later on it says, having done all to stand. Satan's going to throw so many things our way, and we all know that, in various forms to get us to fall apart. But through our Father, we can stand strong and patiently know that he's helping us. And there's a prize for us in the end if we wait. So can we pray for each other, pray for ourselves, that we'll be steadfast, we'll have the patience to stand strong? There's so many things out there that can challenge our faith, but through prayer we can overcome. And then Paul prays for joy. So many times we get joy confused with happiness. Christians aren't happy all the time, but they should be joyful. Rick Warren put it this way: joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Joy as a Christian is that assurance that we have Jesus as our Savior and friend, and nothing can take that away. We have a home in heaven. Many things will affect our happiness, but it shouldn't affect our joy. That joy might not be manifested in a smile. Might be in tears. Might not be displayed with laughter. Might be in sorrow. Because it's through those times we realize that we have something that those situations that are attacking us can't take away. So can we pray for each other that we'll have that deep, subtle joy that we are His and He is ours? And then Paul desires that they give thanks. This final request is one that shows the character of a Christian. And honestly, it's something I've seen in many of your lives if you've gone through tough times. I've heard different ones of you say God is good when you're facing losing a loved one. So often we forget to give thanks when times are tough. We have a hard enough time thanking Him when times are good. God deserves our praise. He's done more than we can imagine. We don't praise Him enough through the good times. But there's words of this song that I've actually sung through some of my darkest times. I'm going to read it to you. I was sure by now, God, You would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, You heard my cry to You, and You raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find You? And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear Your whisper through the rain, I'm with You. And as Your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise You in the storm. And I will lift my hands, for You are who You are no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, You hold in Your hand. You've never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise You in this storm. Can we pray that God will give us strength to praise Him and give thanks always? That's a challenging, challenging statement. I recognize that it is vitally important to pray for each other. But today I want us to be a little bit selfish. And I want us to pray this prayer for ourselves, each one of us individually. I'm not one to like to give homework because I don't like it when someone gives it to me. But take this verse or this passage, shorten it, write it down. I don't take a picture of it. I don't know. But pray it. Pray it for yourself. There is absolutely no way we're going to make it through this new year, through the rest of our lives, without the constant presence of God's Spirit with us. Pray for it. Pray for the knowledge of the will of God. Pray for spiritual wisdom and understanding, to please God in everything, to be fruitful, to increase in the knowledge of God, to be strengthened with godly power, to be steadfast and patient, to have true joy, and then to be able to give thanks. Stand with me, please. Father, we thank You for Your word and the power that's there. Help us, Lord, as individuals to take this thing of serving You and being Your child and obeying You seriously. We so desperately need Your presence in our lives if we're going to make it spiritually. And I pray that You will just help each one of us to have a renewed determination that we're going to serve You. Strengthen each one in Your power and in Your might that they can go out and be a witness for You. In Your name, amen. Thank You for coming. Happy New Year.